He is now doing a good work, but its results he has no conception of, for there are many spirits who a short time ago were in darkness, and now are in light and much happiness, who give to him the credit of being the one who started them on their progress to light and happiness. So tell him to have courage and faith, and he will not be forsaken or left to the influence of evil or depraved spirits who are so very numerous in the earth plane at all times, trying to influence mortals to become as sinful and depraved as they themselves are. I will not write more, as I feel that he would like to hear from some others who are present. But tell him that I, as well as many others of the higher spirits, love him and are with him very much, and pray to the Father to shower upon him the blessings of the divine love. So with my love to you both, I will say good night and God bless you, your brother in Christ, James. I am here, Mary Kennedy. I am here, and I will not let my dear boy, Dr. Stone, be disappointed, for he is just itching to hear from me and had almost given up hope of doing so. But he must know that I could not leave without hearing from me in some way. Well, I am truly glad that I can write to him once again, for it does me as much good to write to him as I know it does him to hear from me, and especially when we are both so anxious to know just how the other is. You must know, of course, how he is, but he can only surmise how I am, except as to one thing, and that he knows, and that is that I love him with all my heart and soul. I am progressing all the time and love him the more that I receive this divine love in my soul, yet I do not cease to want to be with him as much as the performance of my work will permit, even though I have to leave the sphere of much grandeur and beauty and come down to the dark plane which offers such a contrast. But love makes all things beautiful, and our eyes are closed very largely to the unpleasant things when our hearts are so full of love. I have recently read some of the letters that have been written him, and it gave me great happiness to know that he received them and enjoyed them, and I want to say that they were true and were written by the spirits who professed to write them. This I will tell him that he may not doubt, for he senses that his soulmate would not tell him an untruth. I am with him very often trying to help him, as he knows, and there are other spirits with him also. And I must tell him that James takes a special interest in him and is doing everything to help develop him in the way that will enable him to do the work which lies before him. He must not think that there is no special work for him to do, for there is, and while he is now doing a work in helping the dark spirits, yet this is not the work. I wish I could tell him now what it is, but that is the matter that is in the keeping and control of the other higher spirits, and I would not disclose their plans even for my sweetheart, which I would like to do. Well, I must not write more now, for your wife says that you are tired and must not write more tonight. So with my love to him and sisterly love to you, I will say good night. 563, The Paget Messages, 1917, Your Sister in Christ, Mary. I am here, Priscilla Stone. I want to say just one word before you stop writing, for I have been present all evening and have heard your conversation, and have seen the condition of the souls of both yourself and my dear boy, and to tell you that I am happy because of this hardly expresses my feelings. I am so thankful to the Father that he has in his great love and mercy enabled my son to know and experience the presence of this great redeeming love. When I think of the great number of human beings, nearly all whom have no true knowledge of this love and the way to the great celestial kingdom of God where there is so much happiness and the assurance of immortality, I am almost overcome and wonder that such a privilege should be bestowed on my son, who of course is no more deserving of this blessing than are thousands of others of mankind. God is good, and I am so very thankful. Tell my boy to remember what James the Apostle wrote him, and to believe and trust in what he said, as to what reward shall be his when he comes to the spirit world and realize the results of his efforts to help both mortals and spirits. If my other children would only listen to him and turn their thoughts to these spiritual things, and to seek this divine love, I would be so happy that I would exclaim with David when he wrote in the 23d Psalm, "My cup of joy runneth over." And I am praying and hoping that some little truth will find lodgment in their souls and germinate until at last they shall find the pearl of great price from the Father. Tell my boy to believe that his mother loves him so much and is with him so very often, and that she is now trying to unfold her love to him and convey her thanks to the Father of all. His father is here too and sends his love and blessings and says that his son must pray and believe and work, for in these three things will be found a power that will overcome all obstacles and bring to him that love and peace that only the redeemed children of the Father can possibly possess or understand. I will not write more now and thank you for the privilege. God bless my boy and keep him in the way of love that leads to the celestial heaven. And so I will say, good night. His mother, he knows that I am his mother without signing my name, - Priscilla Stone. 564. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, dear, you have had some messages tonight that were satisfactory to the doctor and I am glad that he received them, for they make him feel better. James actually wrote him and was much interested in doing so, as he thinks a great deal of the doctor and is trying to help him in every way. I will not write more now as it is very late and you are tired and sleepy, so go to bed and get your sleep, and believe that I love you with all my heart and soul. I will say, though, that I was with you at church, and as they sang Home, Sweet Home, I was with you and tried to impress you with my presence and love. The home will be yours and you will soon, I mean when the work is finished, come to enjoy it. I want to tell you that you must keep up your courage and hope, and you will not be disappointed. Be ready tomorrow night for the Master to write his message. Do so, and you will be successful in receiving it. So, sweetheart, good night and God bless you, your own true loving, Helen. May 14, 1917. I am here, Luke. I want to take advantage of the opportunity to write while my dear and personal charge, Eugene Morgan, is present. As he knows, I have been with him a great deal, doing for him that which gives me great pleasure, and also helps him in his work of trying to convert some of the dark spirits who are living and suffering in the very erroneous beliefs that they had when on earth, and which, if they be left alone, will cause them to remain in their darkness for a time or times that cannot be determined. I want further to say that he cannot possibly appreciate the work that he is doing, and its results upon these spirits who come to him, not for kindly purposes, but to pronounce upon him the anathemas, a formal ecclesiastical ban, curse, or excommunication, of the church which they used when on earth to scare the unruly believers of their congregations. Of course, I refer to the priests of the Catholic Church, for they, of all the spirits in the spirit world, make the greatest efforts to keep their followers together, and with the greatest feelings of hatred and indignation resent any attempt to intrude upon and change the beliefs of these followers. The Paget Messages 1917. But I am glad that my charge does not become frightened or allow these priests to prevent him from doing his work, which is a wonderful work in this, that never before in all the history of the habitation of the Catholics and their deluded leaders in the spirit world has any attempt by mortals been made to impinge upon the authority and domination of these priests, and consequently, he must not be surprised to know that his crusade, for I must call his efforts such, has started a very considerable commotion among these blind followers and their blind leaders. And more especially is this the case when it is known to be a fact that many of these Catholics have been shown the way to light and have embraced the opportunity to follow the instructions and teachings given them and get out of their darkness and away from the folds of these priests. He is doing a great work and must persevere, for if he has been the means of saving only one of these poor benighted spirits, he has done a work greater than that of conquering a city, as the Bible says. But he has shown not only one to the light and truth, but many, and those thus saved from their darkness and suffering have taught others the way, and the work thus started by him goes on in almost geometrical progression. No man before has done this work among the spirits of that faith, and when it is considered that there are myriads of them, it can be appreciated what the possibilities are for an earnest worker in the way of changing a sinful and benighted and satisfied soul in sin into a spirit of light and happiness. And I want further to tell him that this work of his is becoming noised, to make something generally known, all through the host of Catholic followers, and many are asking about its effect upon the congregations of the faithful, and many also have become dissatisfied with their condition and commenced to doubt the truths of the teachings of the priests and their promises of salvation through the prayers and masses, and are commencing to make inquiry as to where this mortal can be found and how he may be reached. Now, What I have written you is a fact, for I visit these spheres where these spirits live and hear what is said among them, and know that the efforts that my charge has made to help these dark Catholic spirits who have come to him have resulted in good. Well, I could continue much longer my description of what effect his work has had upon these spirits of darkness and delusion, but will not do so tonight. Now, I want to say a few personal 565 words to him. As he knows, I am praying for him and am interested in his every thought as to spiritual matters, and am with him in times of doubt and loss of faith, trying to encourage him. And I want to say that he must not lose faith or doubt what we have written him or the truth that he has received in his soul the divine love to a great degree, and that if he will continue to pray he will receive more and more, and after a time his faith will become so strong that it will almost be impossible for him to doubt, and he will then realize the meaning of faith as the Master defined it. All the aspirations of his soul will become things of real existence. He is blessed among mortals, for there are very few who have with them the association and rapport of the high spirits, as he has, and when it is understood what this means, it will be seen that he enjoys that which the civilized world among its church members pray for continually and yet never realize, as he does, palpably and unmistakably, the presence of these high spirits and the sensible presence of their love, and even that of the highest and greatest of all spirits, the Master. I am so anxious that he shall realize all the privileges and blessings that have been bestowed upon him, for I want him to develop his soul and permit me to come into a higher and closer rapport, which only the greater development of his soul will bring about. I will not write more tonight, as I see that you are somewhat tired, but in closing permit me to say that I most earnestly desire that he shall realize who and what I am, and how much I want him to understand that I am his own guardian angel, with a duty that only my love makes it pleasurable for me to perform, and that so long as he shall live as a mortal I will be with him, and as time goes by will get in closer rapport with him, which will result in his powers increasing more and more until, before the time comes for him to perform the great work that has been given him to do, he will be in that condition that will enable him to do it successfully to the glory of the Father and the salvation of mankind. You may wonder that I write so enthusiastically tonight, but when you come to realize the great work that is to be done and that I know to the fullest extent what it means, and the further fact that I have in my soul the great divine love of the Father to a degree that not many of the celestial spirits have, you will not wonder. So, believe me and trust me, and know without doubt that I love you both with a more than brother's love. May the Father bless and keep, the Paget Messages 1917. You both in his care. Pray and pray, and believe. Good night, your brother in Christ, Luke. May 15, 1917. I am here, Jesus. I come tonight and desire to finish my message and hope that you may be able to receive it. Well, to continue. I have described the way to the kingdom of God on earth and in the spirit world, and now I will describe the only way to the kingdom of God in the celestial heavens. As I have written before, when man was created, in addition to having bestowed upon him those things that made him the perfect man and in harmony with the laws and will of the Father, he also bestowed upon him the potentiality or privilege of receiving the divine love, provided he should seek for it in the only way that God had planned for its attainment. But instead of embracing this great privilege, man became disobedient and sought to exercise his own will, and did so in that manner that led not only to his fall from the condition and the condition of the perfect manhood in which God had created him, but also to the loss of the great privilege of receiving this divine love, which privilege was never re-bestowed upon him until my coming and teaching that re-bestowal and the true way to obtain this love. Now, here it had better be understood what this divine love was and is, for it is the same today that it was when man was created in the image of God. This love differs from the natural love of man, with which he was endowed when created and which belongs to all men and which they all possess in a more or less perfect condition, in this, that the divine love is that love which belongs to or is a part of God, possessing his nature and composed of his substance, and which when possessed by man to a sufficient degree, makes him divine and of the nature of God. This great love God intended should be received and possessed by all men who should desire to receive it and who would make the effort to obtain it. It is the divine love that contains in itself the divine, which the natural love does not. Many, I know, write and believe that all men, irrespective of the kind of love they have in their souls, possess what they call the divine spark, which needs only the proper development to make all men divine. But this conception of the state of man in his natural condition is all wrong, for man has not in him any part of the divine, and never can have, 566, unless he receives and has developed in him, this divine love. In all God's universe and creation of things material and spiritual, the only one of his creatures who can possibly have within him anything of a divine nature is he who possesses this divine love. The bestowal of this love was intended, in its operation and effect, to transform man from the merely perfect man into the divine angel, and thus create a kingdom of God in the celestial spheres, where only that which is divine can enter and find a habitation, stand that as it depends very largely upon man, himself, to establish the kingdom of God on earth or in the spiritual world, so it also depends largely on man to establish the kingdom in the celestial heavens. God will not and does not by any power that he may have established this divine kingdom, and if man had never received this divine love into his soul, there never would have been any such kingdom brought into existence. There is now a kingdom in the celestial sphere, but not a finished one, for it is still open and in the process of formation, and is open to the entry of all spirits, and men must seek for it in the only way that the Father has provided, and no man or spirit will be excluded from it, who, with all the longings of his soul, will aspire to enter that kingdom. I must also state that the time will come when this celestial kingdom will be completed, and thereafter neither spirit nor man will be able to enter therein, for this divine love of the Father will again be withdrawn from man, as it was from the first parents, and the only kingdom that will then be accessible to man will be the kingdom that will exist on earth, or that which now exists in the spirit world. Then what is the way that leads to this celestial kingdom? The only way? For there is but one. The observance of the moral precepts and the cleansing of men's souls from sin by following these precepts, will not lead to this kingdom, for as it can be readily seen, the stream can rise no higher than its source, and the source of the souls of men in a merely purified state, is the condition of the perfect man, that condition in which he was before his fall, and, hence the results of the observance and living of the merely moral precepts and the exercise of the natural love in its pure state, is, that man will be restored to the condition of the perfect man, the created man in whom there is nothing of the divine. But this restored condition, the Paget Messages 1917, of man will be so perfect and so in harmony with God's will and his laws governing the highest and the most perfect of his creatures, that man will be very happy. Yet, he will continue to be only the created being, having nothing more than the image of his Maker. So, I say, living in a harmony with the moral laws and the exercise of this natural love in its highest and purest state towards God and towards his fellow man, will not lead into the way to the celestial kingdom, but the greatest height of his attainment will be the kingdom on earth or that in the spirit heavens. And the distinct and differing nature of these kingdoms from that of the celestial heavens will enable mankind to understand the difference between the missions of the great teachers and reformers who preceded me in their work among men, and the mission which I was selected to perform on earth. The former could not possibly have taught the way to the celestial kingdom, for until my coming, this divine love of which I write was not possible for man to obtain. The privilege was not, before that time, in existence after the first parents lost it, and there was no celestial kingdom in which men could find their eternal home. So, I repeat, all the moral teachings of the world's history could not show the way to the celestial kingdom of God, and cannot now, for morality, as understood and taught by mankind and by the spirits and angels, cannot give to man that which is absolutely necessary in order to transform his soul into that state or condition that fits him for an entrance into this truly divine kingdom of the Father. But the way thereto is simple and singular, and men were taught that way by me when I was on earth, and could have been taught that way during all the centuries since I left the human life, and I must say that some have been so taught and have found that way, but comparatively few, for the mortals whose ostensible and claimed mission and privilege were to teach that way, I mean the priests and preachers and churches, have neglected to teach the same, but rather, though in earnestness and realizing their allegiance to God and their obligations to mankind, have taught merely the way which the observance of the moral precepts would lead men into. And all this, notwithstanding, that in the Bible, which most of those professing to be Christians believe contains my sayings and teachings, is set forth this way to the celestial kingdom. The words are few and the way is plain, 567, and no mystery prevents men from comprehending the meaning thereof. When I said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, I disclose the only and true way to this kingdom. During my time on earth there were some who understood this great truth, and since that time, there have been some who not only understood this truth, but found the way and followed it until they reached the goal and are now inhabitants of this kingdom. But the vast majority of men, priests, teachers and people, have never understood, and have never sought to find the way. This great truth to their spiritual senses has been, as it were, a hidden thing, and as they read or even recite the same to their hearers it has no special significance, but is merely as one of the moral precepts, such as love your neighbor as yourself, and with not as much importance attached to it as to some of these moral instructions. And so, all down the ages since the great kingdom has been waiting for men, they, though in all sincerity and in love towards God, have sought for and to a greater or lesser extent, found only the kingdom of the perfect man, and have neglected to seek for and miss the kingdom of the divine angel. Then, as I have said, this divine love of the Father, when possessed by the soul of man, makes him in his substance and essence divine like unto the divinity of the Father, and only such souls constitute and inhabit the celestial or divine kingdom of God. And this being so, it must be readily seen that the only way to the celestial kingdom is that which leads to the obtaining of this divine love, which means the new birth, and which new birth is brought about by the flowing into the souls of men this divine love, whereby the very nature and substance of the Father, and wherefrom men cease to be the merely created beings, but become the souls of men born into the divine reality of God. Then the only way to the celestial kingdom being by the new birth, and that birth being brought to men only by the inflowing and working of this divine love. And whether or not a man shall experience this birth depending in its initiative on the man himself, the question arises how or in what way can a man obtain this divine love and this new birth and the celestial kingdom. And because the way is so easy and simple, it may be that men will doubt the truth of my explanation, and continue to believe and place all their hopes upon the orthodox doctrines of the vicarious atonement, the washing of the blood, my sufferings on the cross and bearing all the sins of the Paget Messages 1917, the world, and my resurrection from the dead doctrines as harmful to the salvation of mankind as they are without truth or foundation in fact or effect. The only way then is simply this, that men shall believe with all the sincerity of their minds and souls that this great love of the Father is waiting to be bestowed upon each and all of them, and that when they come to the Father in faith and earnest aspirations, this love will not be withholden from them, and in addition to this belief, pray with all the earnestness and longings of their souls that He open up their souls to the inflowing of this love, and that then may come to them the Holy Spirit to bring this love into their souls in such abundance that their souls may be transformed into the very essence of the Father's love. 29 The man who will thus believe and pray will never be disappointed, and the way to the kingdom will be his as certainly as that the sun shines day by day upon the just and the unjust alike. No mediator is needed, nor are the prayers or ceremonies of priests or preachers, for God comes to man himself, and hears his prayers and responds thereto by sending the Comforter, which is the Father's messenger for conveying into the souls of men this great divine love. I have thus explained the only way to the celestial kingdom of God and to the divine nature in love, and there is no other way whereby it is possible to reach this kingdom and the certain knowledge of immortality. So, I implore men to meditate on these great truths, and in meditating believe, and when believing, pray to the Father for the inflowing into their souls of this divine love, and in doing so they will experience belief, faith and possession and ownership of that which can never be taken from them, no, not in all eternity. And so it is with man to choose and fix his destiny. Will that destiny be the perfect man or the divine angel? I have finished and feel that you have received my message as I intended, and am pleased. I will not write more now, and with my love and blessings, will say good night. Your brother and friend, Jesus. I am here, Samuel, prophet of old. I have heard the Master's message and these are all of his. These are the words contained in the prayer delivered on December 2, 1916. 29, is filled with truths that are vital to man's future happiness and condition of being. I have also been with you very often, and have tried to help you in every way that I could, and you must believe that you have around you a host of celestial as well as spiritual spirits who are interested in you and endeavoring to assist you in your work. I will come soon and write. So with my love I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, Samuel. May 16, 1917 I am here, Bismarck. Well, I am here and will give you my opinion of the war as best I can. My views are based on the conditions that I am aware of in all the countries engaged in the war. I understand that you do not want a long message tonight, so I will say briefly that the Germans will have to sue for peace and that will happen, I feel certain, before the beginning of August. The condition of the German people is such that they will cease to sustain the Kaiser in the longer prosecution of the war, and the Revolutionary Party will grow so rapidly that the monarch of Germany will soon cease to exist. This is the opinion of the one who is responsible for the formation of the Empire, Otto von Bismarck. May 20, 1917 I am here, John Mark. I will write a few lines and let you know that I have listened tonight to your comments on the book of the spiritualist teacher, Mr. Gates, and as I heard the doctor read extracts and then your comments, I was convinced that the writer did not know very much about either the laws controlling what may be called the physical part of creation, or those controlling the spiritual existence and relationship of things spiritual. It is a pity that men in his position do not make an effort to learn more of the truths in reference to these things, for it is not necessary even that he should have a knowledge of the truths that have been conveyed to you, in order to learn many spiritual truths that would enable him to teach his followers those things that would advance them in the true knowledge of spiritualism. I do not know the man personally, as I have never been in his society, and have, therefore, never had the opportunity to observe his condition of soul and mind, and what I say is based entirely 568, the Paget Messages 1917, on what I heard read and what was said in your conversation. But this great error I do know, and that is, that he is all wrong when he says there is no God in the universe, but some eternal force which he calls God. It is pitiable that his knowledge is so limited and that he attempts to teach others the truths of the spiritual universe. I will go sometime when you visit him, to where he may be and learn just what his condition of soul and mind is, and then inform you, so that possibly you may do him some good in the way of teaching him the truth. You may think it strange that I should write to you on this subject or think that his learning the truth is a thing of sufficient importance to give my attention to, as there are so many things to be written you. But I realize that he is in the position of a teacher of spiritualism and that he has the opportunity to influence a great many mortals who are seeking the truth, and who believe that he may be able to enlighten them. This is the only reason that prompted me to consume your time in this writing. Of course, his soul is one of a million, and is no more valuable or precious in the sight of God than the soul of any other mortal, and to select his soul for a special effort of salvation would not justify me in ignoring others in the way of seeking them out or in permitting them to learn the truths from spirits who may be interested in them, using the privilege to communicate through you. But for the reason stated, I thought it advisable to suggest to you what I have written. This is all that I can write tonight. So, believe that I am interested in your work although I do not come here very often. I am, your brother in Christ, John Mark. I am here, Paul. Well, my dear brother, I have not written for a long time, and I now will embrace the opportunity to say a few words. I do not intend to write a formal message, though I should like to do so, but conditions are not just right to enable me to write as I desire. I have been present quite often when you were receiving messages from the other spirits and used my influence to make conditions favorable to your receiving these messages, and also to cause you to feel that there was surrounding you an atmosphere of love and harmony that enabled you to enjoy not only the messages but the feelings of love and benevolent influences that came to you.